It's this girl. She's like, I don't know how old she is now, but at the time she might have been like 8 to 10 years old. She has alopecia. And like her hair was all gone. Like, I don't even think she had a strand on her head. Like, and her mom was just telling me she's used everything, and she's gone to the dermatologist, she's went to the doctor, like nothing has worked. So she was just telling me how she was gonna start using a product. This might have been in 2021. And I was like, okay. So she started using the oil and the shampoo and the conditioner. So I'm like, all right. Now, like when I say this girl's hair is so thick, it's so full, like she has a head full of hair. Like there's no like bald spots anywhere. It's a head full of hair. Her mom was like, yeah, like her whole life, like nothing has worked. And I've used this and now she has a head full of hair. So I'm just like, wow.
Welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, a safe space for ambitious beauty industry creatives to have real talk, get real answers, and practical tools to grow their businesses. My name is Aquia Robinson, and I'm a makeup artist, beauty educator, and the creator of Friends in Beauty. I created Friends in Beauty to support like-minded creatives just like you on their quest to connect, network, and build genuine relationships within the beauty community. Join me every week as me and my special guests reveal the keys to success and longevity in the beauty industry, and most importantly, have fun while doing it. You ready? Hey, what's up? It's your best friend in beauty, Aquia Robinson. Welcome back to another episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast. I am so happy to have you here, and I hope you're listening to this episode in high spirits and in good health. If you are a friend in beauty, I welcome you to join the Friends in Beauty Facebook community. If you're looking for a community of like-minded, ambitious friends in beauty to virtually connect with, network, and share resources, then click the link down below in the show description to join us in the Facebook community, and I'll be there to welcome you with open arms. Also, let's get social. Follow Friends in Beauty on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty. Additionally, the Friends in Beauty podcast is available on several platforms. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google, YouTube, you name it, we are there. And whatever platform you are listening from right now, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning into the Friends in Beauty podcast. I appreciate it more than you know. And I would love it even further if you took the time to leave a 5-star rating, a review, a like, a comment, a share, a subscribe, a something to let me know how you feel about the Friends in Beauty podcast. Additionally, Friends in Beauty is now on Patreon. So for as little as $3 a month, you can support the Friends in Beauty podcast. And there are also several tiers available that unlock Patreon exclusive content just for you, like behind the scene content of the Friends in Beauty podcast, bonus interview clips, a monthly Ask Me Anything, discounts, and so much more. So if that's something that you're interested in, I'll leave the link down below in the show description for that as well. Also, if you'd like to stay connected even further, join the Friends in Beauty mailing list tribe. They are the first to know about all things Friends in Beauty, and I send out different resources and tips throughout the week. So if that's something that you're interested in, join us over there. And last but not least, listen up. The most important thing is to share the Friends in Beauty podcast with your other friends in beauty, your family, your friends, anybody that you think could benefit from the information that is being shared. Share a way to help me grow the Friends in Beauty community. Now, on this episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast, I welcome the CEO of The Glam Room to the Friends in Beauty guest chair. The Glam Room has taken Atlanta-based influencers like Desti Eure and Dierra by storm, and now the brand can't stop selling out. Created by beauty mogul Jasmine Rollington, she got her start doing her roommate's hair during her college days at Clark Atlanta University, and since then has expanded her business and created a massive social media presence, which has resulted in her brand selling out in minutes with every restock. Jasmine is a master cosmetologist with a long list of clientele, and her expert commentary has been featured in articles on Cosmopolitan, The Zoe Report, Refinery 29, and more. The Glam Room is her inclusive and all-natural beauty brand created to promote healthy hair growth and addresses skincare issues with fast results. The fan favorite is her all-grown-out hair growth oil, which promotes hair growth in as little as 3 to 7 days and can be used on all hair and will be restocking on October 1st. Additional products include hair growth shampoo, conditioner,
hair growth spray, facial cleanser, toner, Glam Glaze edge control, raw Indian hair bundles, closure and clip-ins, and as you can see, the glam room has a lot to offer, okay? In this interview, Jasmine shares the secret sauce to why the glam room products continue to sell out with every restock, how sliding into the DMs of a well-known celebrity paid off for her, the larger-than-life way she celebrated her 7-year anniversary of the glam room, what marketing tactics have been working for her business, the craziest testimonials that have blown her away, the major key to her success in business, and so much more. One thing's for sure, you do not want to be left in the dust when this next restock happens, okay? Set your calendars right now. I had such a wonderful time chatting with Jasmine about the viral success of her brand. She is killing it time and time again, and I love it. Let's go ahead and jump into the chat with the CEO of The Glam Room. And if you prefer to watch our beautiful faces, then tune in on YouTube. Enjoy. Welcome to the Friends of Beauty podcast, Jasmine.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you. Just talking and saying you're a busy woman. Okay, I'm so happy that we're able to sit down today and jump into your business. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
Yes. So I'd like to start off with icebreaker questions to get us warmed up and so the Friends of Beauty audience can get to know you outside of beauty a little bit. Okay. So the first one, just give us 3 random facts about you.
3 random facts. I used to run track. I actually like to cook and I speak a little Spanish a little bit.
A little poquito.
Yeah, a little bit.
What's a pet peeve that you have?
When people smack.
Oh, when they're eating?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate that.
So I have these things called pod decks. They have like random questions in them. This is a would you rather deck and a what the heck. Which one do you like?
Would you rather?
Okay, let's see. And I always warn people. Sometimes the questions are pretty like cool. Sometimes they're like, girl.
Yeah.
Would you rather be forced to high five everyone you make eye contact with or strike up conversations with at least 5 strangers a day?
The high fives.
Yeah, the high fives would be easier.
Mm-hmm.
Get some hand sanitizer with you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What do people always tell you that you're good at aside from what you do professionally?
I would say maybe giving advice, like just being a good listener and like, yeah, being there for people.
Mm-hmm. Got you. Do you have a worst job? Like what's the worst job you've ever had?
I would say it was like this call center job. I worked there for like a day and I quit. And I was supposed to be like calling, you know how you call and like, what, I don't know what they call it, like cold calling, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just calling and they were hanging up. I said, I'm not doing this.
What kind of company was it for?
I don't even know. I just literally just didn't go back. I would say either that or it's like me working for like Comcast. I was thinking it was like working in the office and they had us out in the field, like knocking on doors. I'm like, what is going on? Why are we knocking on doors? Like that was my last day.
That is crazy. I have like a similar thing. I was I got hired as like an unemployment claims examiner. And then it was like a big group of us. So some of them, they made examiners and then other people, they had like the call center, like taking people's stuff. And I used to do that.
Oh my God.
Like during the recession time, I was like being able to see people's like wages and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, this is all I'm getting for unemployment. I'm like, oh my God.
And then going off on you. Yeah.
Yes. It was crazy. Oh my gosh. So if you weren't the founder of the Glam Room, what else could you see yourself doing?
Probably being an attorney.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I have a degree in criminal justice. So that's probably what I would be doing, honestly.
All right. Criminal justice degree. And you decided not to use it?
Yeah. You know how your parents like make you go to school. So I was like, let me get this degree just to have it. But hair has always been my thing. But I was like, okay, let me get the degree. So...
I have an IT degree that I've never used.
That's a great degree to have.
Yeah, it's cool. And I feel like I'm a lot more tech savvy than a lot of creatives too. I'm able to do a lot of like techie type, you know, stuff, including like this podcast.
Yeah.
It still works out in my favor.
You need IT for everything. So that's perfect.
Yeah. So where are you from?
Born in Georgia, raised in Baltimore.
Oh yeah. Okay. I'm in DC.
Okay. Yes. You love it? Do you like it?
I mean, I was born and raised here. So
So you know about the chicken boxes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I miss them.
Okay, so where are you now?
I'm in Atlanta.
Okay. What made you make the transition?
My mom moved us out here like when I was in like eighth grade. So we've been here since then.
Okay. So what's a typical like day in the life for you now?
Now I would say either like doing some clients. So I still have clients. I would say doing hair and then going to the warehouse. I have to like do inventory, make product, ship stuff. After that, I still try to get like my self-care in because like with the restocks, it gets so hectic. So maybe get my nails done, spa, just going out to eat, just something because I have to keep my mind like clear and just, you know, stress-free.
Absolutely.
So probably that. And then working out, that's like my main thing. I love to travel too.
Okay. How many days a week do you work now?
It kind of varies. Sometimes I'll work one set. So that's kind of like random. And then doing hair is kind of by appointment. So I'll say like maybe like a day or two a week. And then warehouse every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
Okay. How'd you get your start as a stylist?
In college. So I was doing my roommate's hair and it just started like that. Or doing my hair and my roommates and they started telling everybody, oh, you should go to her. She curls hair. She does hair. And that's literally how it started. And I just started taking it really serious and doing everybody's hair. And I got into a shop and then I started doing Love & Hip Hop. So that's like really how it started.
Okay. Love & Hip Hop Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So who'd you work with?
I've worked with everybody, but like my main person was always Carly Red.
Okay. Got you. That's so cool. So you were a Technique agency?
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. Oh my God.
You know them? Yeah.
I do. So I think I don't even know. My years get jumbled now. I think maybe 2014, 15, I got to work a few of the reunions. So I worked like the Atlanta reunion, the New York reunion, and it was always fun, like being on set, like in the room watching everything go down before everybody.
It's a lot. It's stressful though.
Yes.
It's very stressful.
Seeing those fights and everything.
Uh-huh.
Yo, what is going on?
Yeah, that was one thing, like working on set, I don't know, it was always kind of like different from my mental,
mm-hmm.
Because people think, you know, it's not like real TV, but like for me, it's like, we have to work in this type of environment, so that was my only thing.
Yeah,
it was like high stress.
Right, especially if you're there on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can imagine.
That's high stress.
Yeah. Oh my God, so what was your inspo behind the glam room?
Okay, so when I do my client's hair, I'll do your hair however you ask. However, I feel like if your hair's not healthy, I'm not doing it because I care more about the healthier hair before just doing a style. So I would just say that, like caring about my clients' health of their hair before just, you know, anything.
Right.
That was like the main thing.
Yeah. I'm hearing a lot of people talk about that now. I didn't realize when people are going to salons now, they're like, they want you to come with your hair washed and like all of this stuff already.
Uh-huh.
And another girl I was just talking to the other day, she was saying she used to get her hair dyed a lot.
Uh-huh.
Was telling me she stopped going to this lady because the lady wasn't taking care of like the health of her.
Yeah.
It was getting dyed. It was like and everything like that.
Yeah. No, a lot of people, and believe it or not, everybody can probably do hair, but a lot of stylists don't know how to like grow your hair out. Like they don't have, I guess, like growing hands, I guess, but yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. What was the product that you launched with when you opened?
The first one was like a hair growth spray, and then I did the hair growth oil next.
Okay. Why those products in particular?
Just, I don't know, I just wanted to like focus on the growth and just the health overall and still just make something that's like natural and easy to use, because I know people can be inconsistent with products and a lot of people don't like to take pills and gummies. So I just feel like, you know, a spray is easy, quick spray and go, and or oil it and go, and it's easier.
Yeah. So you had the hair growth spray, the hair growth oil, and you've expanded though. You have more products now.
I have a lot of products. I might have like 30 products now, maybe more than that. And then I have skincare too.
Oh my gosh. Like what was the process for determining like what products you were going to expand with?
Honestly, I have moments where I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing next. I don't like, you know, like moments where you may have like your creative moments and the moments where you don't. So I don't know. I just like to pray and then just see like kind of what comes to my mind or what I feel more like heavily about doing, I guess.
Yeah.
But I listen to my customers. A lot of people don't. I'll just listen and just kind of see like what's the concern, like what are, you know, people dealing with. And then me doing hair too, I know like the top things that, you know, we deal with. I know postpartum is definitely one. That's like a major one. Alopecia is definitely another one too.
Right. I'm hearing a lot of talk about postpartum now, in particular because someone close to me is pregnant. Going down like the rabbit hole of, you know, sex and everything. And just the talks about postpartum alone is like, how come people don't talk about it?
They don't. I don't know if they're just scared to or what, but I don't know. I mean, everyone doesn't experience it, but the ones that do, you know, I like when they are able to like open up about it and talk about it. But to make it, you know, I feel like it's something we should talk about, because whether it's you losing hair or skin breaking out, like I feel like even with depression, like it's a lot of different things that postpartum can, you know, do. So
absolutely. Oh my gosh. So I know that you just celebrated 7 years in business. Like, what did you do to like celebrate and to like commemorate the milestone?
So I have a billboard in Atlanta. It's right in like Buckhead. I know I had to. I had to, but it's like right in front of the Gold Room. So I'm like, you know, it only right to put the glam room in front of the Gold Room. So I'm like, okay. And then I just went out to dinner. I normally don't like to like celebrate, but I was like, you know, let me celebrate. So I just went out to dinner and just spent time with family.
Yeah, I love that. Are billboards expensive? Because I've seen a lot of billboards popping up. I'm like, I might have to give me a Friends and Beauty billboard.
You definitely should. And it's different types of billboards. I think it depends on location. So I would say some could be as low as maybe $500 a month. Oh, or they could go up to, of course, $20,000, $10,000. I would say like prime location, you might spend total, if you're trying to do like 2-3 months, $3,000 total. So about $1,000 a month maybe.
I didn't think, I don't know why I thought it was like way crazier than that.
And then, like I said, depending on the location, you might be getting impressions of like 200,000 cars driving by a week. So almost like 1 million people seeing your billboard within that time span. So I feel like it works.
Right. How are you able to track, the data from people who see the billboard and like converting them to customers?
Yeah, they send them to you. And then I naturally just like clock my website and look at my views. So you can see it too. You can tell like your normal engagement versus like afterwards.
I love that. I don't know a lot of people that got billboards, but I know one now outside the Gold Room.
Yes.
And so isn't Buckhead like the affluent area of, I guess, Atlanta, that area?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I would say Buckhead and Midtown.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about Atlanta. I have a few family members down there, but I come down there every now and then.
Yeah, you should pop up.
So I know with your restocks and everything, it's like a big deal. Like, how do you get your customers like prepared for restock?
I don't know. So I kind of let them choose the dates as well. Like, I just give them like say so with everything. So we'll kind of like agree on a date and we'll pick the date. But the thing is that it sells out really fast. So they know like, okay, if I say like 10 o'clock, then they know by like 12, it's selling out. So it's really crazy. And then so many people will show their results and, you know, write their comments underneath. So people kind of already know how the products work on the skincare side and hair care side too.
Right. So who do you have on your team to like get ready for these restocks? So just like the everyday, like day-to-day happenings of the business?
My family, honestly, like my family. I'm big on like trusting people, and it's like, I don't know. So it's my family. They've been helping me since like the beginning of everything. The first person that helped me was my dad. It was just me and my dad. Oh. And he lives in Savannah. So he would just come up like every restock and just help me. And then we added on my cousins. And now it's like probably like 10 to 15 people in the warehouse that helped me. But it's all my family.
That is amazing. I love that. Yeah, finding good people, that's a whole nother podcast.
I know.
And I just heard somebody the other day, I was tuning into another podcast, and somebody suggested like giving people a trial.
Oh, yeah.
Like giving them to do and like still paying them, but like just test them out before you actually like hire them.
Yep. I agree.
Because I've had some.
Like a 90-day, maybe, not 60 to 90.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I know you sell out really quick. So is that like a marketing tactic with like having like a limited amount of products, or like do you have like tons of inventory and it's just like going out the door?
Of inventory and it just goes out. So like, that's why I'm so big on my self-care, because it's like, we will have so many like different drops of like orders going to the post office. It's just a lot of work. And I think, I don't know, I've been saying like, I want to show the behind the scenes. It's like so much that goes into it. Cause I've had people say, girl, why don't you make more products? Or, oh my God, you must only stock a little bit. And it's like, no, but I should start showing them so they can see. Cause I think they think like I'm stocking a little bit or something.
You should.
So it's I should.
You want to see.
I know.
Behind the scenes. What do you think it is about the glam room that that it continues to do that time and time again? Like, just sell out, sell out, sell out.
Honestly, so like I said, I've done hair. I've went to college. I've done a lot of different things as far as like working, but I will say this is probably like and I pray all the time, but I will say this is like the first thing I've really like put God at the center of it. Like I pray so hard when it comes, I pray every restock. Like, yeah, I just all I can put it to is God, yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. Before starting the glam room, did you build some kind of community of women, or like, how did you, build up to the glam room and have people just support you like that?
Honestly, so like I had the spray first and I would like post it and people would be like, oh my God, I missed it. I was gonna support, but you know, like just kind of tell me they were gonna support and they didn't. I would probably have like 50 orders. I would just keep posting. I didn't really care if I got 10 likes or if nobody commented, or you know, I just didn't care. I just kept posting it. And I think over time people like using it and posting in reviews, people are like, okay, this stuff really works. I think people are just always skeptical, like, like I don't know. Yeah. But once they like, okay, she got like all these people using it, like it works.
Got you. Is there like a particular moment with the glam room that you think was like the turning point where it went from, okay, people not really messing with it, to like, oh my gosh, like now I can't keep products in stock? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say definitely the pandemic. And then for me, it kind of happened overnight. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, so you know, the pandemic happened and me being a hairstylist, I couldn't work. So I had to stop working. And I had some money saved, but honestly, I might have had like $2,000 like left to my name. Mm-hmm. And this is my first time like telling the story. I've been saying I'm going to tell the story, but I might have had like $2,000 left to my name. And of course, my apartment, I was staying in an apartment. They still were like, you have to pay rent. Like, regardless of the pandemic, you still have to pay rent. But I'm like, I'm not working. I do hair. So how can I pay my rent? So I'm like, okay, I got to get serious about like posting my products. You know, I was already posting it, but I was doing hair. So my hair was like my main thing, the products were my side. So I'm like, I got to post this because I can't do anything else. I can't work. We were scared to go near people. So I'm like, this is my only option. So I'm just posting my products. You know, it's getting a little buzz, but not really. But I reached out to Kehlani, the singer, and I'm like, hey, I would love to send you some products. Like, you know, not thinking she's going to respond. I just had wrote plenty of different people, but she literally wrote me back in like 20 minutes. Like, sure. What kind of products are they? Like, what do they do? And I'm explaining to her. I'm like, she's not going to write back. Mm-hmm. And I write her, I tell her what they do. She's like, can kids use it? I'm like, yeah. So she's like, okay, well, cool. Like, send it to me. And if I like it, I'll post it. I'm like, okay, great. Like, she sends me her address. I'm like, is this real? Like, this is crazy. So I send her the stuff. And this is like, what time is this? This is like holiday time, I feel like.
Are you
deep? Summertime. But I'm at my family's house. I think we're doing something like with the family. Uh-huh. And I just sent it to her. So she got it maybe, let's call it a Monday. It's Wednesday. It's like 2 days after she got it. And I'm just at my mom's house and I see all this engagement on my page. I'm like, what's going on? Like, what happened? And I go on her page, she posted. So I'm like, oh, wow. So it went from me having like 50 to 100 orders to now I have 500 orders, or I have 1,000 orders. And I'm like, okay, this is crazy. Like, I would say that moment, honestly.
That is crazy. So you DM'd her on Instagram?
I DM'd her.
I love that. See, I always be telling people, shoot your shot. Like, you have no idea what can happen. Uh-huh. That is amazing. I love that. That's an amazing story.
It is. And what's crazy about it, like before I did it, my pastor was like doing a sermon on, he was just saying like, God is going to send somebody into your life, or you're going to have like a conversation with someone that's going to like, he wasn't talking to me personally, but I felt it. But he was just saying like, God is going to send someone your way that's going to be able to help you, but there'll be no connection. That's what he was saying. It's literally just for this person to help you and that'll be it. So like now in today's time, I probably can't get her to respond again, but it was just like in that moment, I'm just like, she really like, you know, really like helped me. So yeah, I would say that moment.
I love that. Shoot your this is your sign. If you were thinking about reaching out,
yes,
to do it.
I tell people all the time and people are like, well, no, what if they don't see it, or what if they don't respond, or what if they say no? So what? Send a DM. If they say no, just go to the next person. It's okay.
Because I'm literally at the point where somebody has to tell me no.
Yeah,
talking about being persistent and following other people and everything, they would literally have to respond like, girl, stop DMing me. Like,
And you might tell me no, that's okay. Somebody's gonna tell me yes though.
Exactly. I love that story. Thanks for sharing that.
Yes.
Inspirational. So as far as marketing for you, like what works or what's working and what's not working?
So honestly, I'm still like figuring out the back end as far as marketing. I love marketing too. That's another thing. I love marketing, but I'm big on changing things up. Like, you know, when you go to a grocery store and they change the fruits might've been over here. Now it's on the left. So I'm big on changing up your marketing tactics. So, I don't know. Right now, I love how, you know, it sells out. And some people like to just keep stuff in stock. For me, I like to, you know, let it be sold out and I'll restock when I can. But I guess that is a marketing tactic. But for me, I don't use it as such, but I guess it is one. But yeah.
I love that. How's influencer marketing working for you?
I've tried it. I feel like it could be a hit or miss. Like, you can use some people who you think, oh, they got like X amount of followers, you might think they'll bring the engagement, but so it's like, I don't know. It's something to try because it could work or it could be like, okay, I won't use that person again or I won't do that again. So yeah, I guess you just have to know the right person to use. It could work.
Yeah. So I had this thing on the podcast called Never Have I Ever. I know you probably played Never Have I Ever before, the drink. So we're not gonna be drinking, of course, but if you have done this Never Have I Ever statement, just give us like the story behind it. And if not, just give us some advice for avoiding this.
Okay.
So Never Have I Ever statement is, never have I ever had my wig slide off at a bad time.
Hey, I know you're enjoying the episode, but I have something to tell you real quick. Did you know that I created a Patreon? Look, podcasting is fun and I absolutely love it, but it is not cheap. And there have been so many people who have reached out to me that want to support the show somehow and keep the good vibes flowing. So I thought, why not create a Patreon? For as little as $3 a month, you can support the Friends in Beauty podcast and join a community of other loyal supporters of the show, just like you. There are other tier levels available that unlock tons of exclusive Patreon-only content, like behind-the-scenes clips of the show, bonus interview content, monthly calls with me, discounts, and so much more. But no matter what tier you decide to choose, I appreciate you so much. And I'm going to give you a shout out on the podcast when you join the Patreon. So if you'd like to be a part of the exclusive Patreon community for the Friends in Beauty podcast, I'll leave the link down below in the show notes. And as always, I appreciate your support. Now, let's go ahead and jump back into the episode.
Never.
I know that's right. For people that's out here with their wigs shifting and sliding, like, what products do they need to be using to keep the wig tacked down?
I would say definitely some Bold Hold. Or some free spray. I don't know. I guess it just depends on the install. Just definitely some good glue. Make sure you use the alcohol before you put the glue down to make sure it sticks good. Clean up the residue, yeah.
I've seen some things happen, girl.
Really?
Especially, I guess with us being on social media now.
Yeah.
And I think people think it's a joke to be like shifting people's wigs.
It's probably for the content, but yeah.
What's the craziest testimonial that you received that like just blew you away?
The craziest. It's this girl. She's like, I don't know how old she is now, but at the time she might be like 8 to 10 years old. She has alopecia. And like her hair was all gone. Like, I don't even think she had a strain on her head. Like, and her mom was just telling me she's used everything and she's gone to the dermatologist. She's went to the doctor, like nothing has worked. So she was just telling me how she was going to start using a product. This might've been in 2021. And I was like, okay. So she started using the oil and the shampoo and the conditioner. So I'm like, all right. Now, like when I say this girl's hair is so thick, it's so full, like she has a head full of hair, like there's no like bald spots anywhere. It's a head full of hair. Her mom was like, yeah, like her whole life, like nothing has worked. And I've used this and now she has a head full of hair. So I'm just like, wow. Or like I have this other lady who has cancer and she, you know, she had to like shave her hair off because of the chemotherapy. And now she has a head full of hair. I was talking about like a head full of hair. And I'm like, I love that. I love it too, because it just makes me feel good. Or like people that'll tell you like, you know, I didn't have confidence before. And then now like I have my hair and it's brought my confidence back. I love hearing stories like that. I really do.
Yes. Okay. So what are the key ingredients in this miracle growth oil? Because that's fantastic.
It's so many different ones, but I would say like the key one is the castor. Like, okay, so this is a thing. So a lot of people feel like, because you know, you see different oils on social media. So there are some that may like have a thinner consistency. Mm-hmm. And some people feel like, you know, if it's a thinner oil, like they like it better if it's a thin oil, but my oil is like thicker because castor oil is like the base, but they don't know that thinner oils actually dry your scalp out. So it can, you know, when you have a dry scalp, it's going to make it itch. And then that leads to hair loss. A thicker oil will coat your scalp. So I would say castor is like my key ingredient, and tea tree oil, rosemary. It's a lot of different things.
Yeah.
How'd all natural.
This? Like, how'd you learn about all these different oils and their benefits?
So I've always been like a researcher, but the key thing is I went to hair school. So going to hair school, you learn about like a lot of different things, chemicals, what works for hair, what doesn't work for hair. You learn about all of this, but like on my outside time, like I learned about it anyway. My mom and my grandmother already had like an herbal shop when I was young. So I don't know. I've always been around it. Like everything I do is like natural. I don't drink juice or soda. So like, I don't know. I try to like actually like live what I, you know.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Cause I'm really into like herbal things as well. My mom was like, we were sick. It wasn't no Robitussin and all that. Uh-huh. She was giving us straight up nasty herbs.
Or people who take castor oil when they like, my dad was telling me, my grandmother gave him castor oil to drink when he was young, like, cause they had upset stomachs or whatever. Like, I'm like how you said, like natural. Like, I like it that way.
Yeah, I love that. Oh my God. So when did you start making this oil? Like, were you just experimenting and mixing things?
I would say the first time might have been 2014, I want to say. But it wasn't for like the public. It was just something I put into like a bottle, and it was for my customers. Well, my clients. It was for my clients and certain clients that I would feel like her scalp might be dry, or her hair is shedding, or just whatever I felt the issue was, I would apply the oil. And they would say, hey, like, what was that stuff that you put in my hair? Like, my hair is growing, or my hair isn't dry anymore. My hair's not this or that. And I'm like, oh, it's just like some oil I put together. Like, nothing, you know, I'm trying to sell. Yeah. They're like, you need to sell that. Like, what are you doing? Like, sell that. And I'm like, oh, I wasn't thinking about it. Like, I didn't take it serious about selling it, like, for a minute. Mm-hmm. It took a little minute.
Yeah.
But I started selling it, like, on a lower scale. I started with the spray. But it took me a minute to, like, really do the oil and everything.
Got you. So when it comes to running a company like the Glam Room, how do you like put yourself out there? Is it strictly like just customer testimonials and reviews, or do you have like a marketing team that gives you ideas on how to execute like the vision for your company, a coach or something like that? Like, what do you do behind the scenes?
So no marketing team. I like to market myself, but I will say word of mouth. So, you know, people like just trying the product, and when somebody loves something, we will run our mouths. Like, we will tell a million people, like, you gotta try this. So I would definitely say word of mouth is like my biggest way, I would say.
Yeah. Do you ever get any negative reviews? How do you handle it if you do?
So the negative really isn't like negative. Like, I've had people say, oh, it didn't work. But then when I start asking like real questions, like, okay, how often did you use it? Or what else are you using with it? Or what hairstyles are you wearing with it? Like, things that I really need to know, because I recommend that you use it twice a day, every day for like max results. So yeah. I'll say like, how often are you using it? They might say, oh, I was only using it like a couple times a week or once a day. I'm like, well, to see max results, you got to use it like more frequently. You got to be consistent. So I'll say that. Or, you know, what other products are you using? They may be using a product that has an alcohol base. Like, that's not good for your hair. So I don't know, like, that's really like the main one I've gotten.
Yeah, I like that. So it's not necessarily negative. People just ain't following the directions.
Yeah, or just like shipping issues. They may say they didn't get their product, or they got it, it was damaged. Like, a lot of the stuff is USPS, which I don't have control over. So sometimes I'll just, you know, just resend it out or just whatever.
Yeah. How have the relationships that you built so far as like a hairstylist, or just being in the industry around, you know, certain people, how has it played a role in your business?
Honestly, I'm like kind of antisocial. I'm kind of shy. So I really always just kind of kept to myself as far as the industry went. As far as Carly Red or like certain people like that, they've been helpful, like, you know, supportive. But as far as like other stylists, I really just always kept to myself.
Yeah. Has that worked for you, or do you wish you had like a community a little bit?
I feel like I don't know. I just feel like my industry, like, it just could be so, like, messy, and I don't do the drama or anything that's, like, stressful. So I don't know. I just always been a girl. I'm going to go to work, do my clients, and I'm out of here. I'll speak to everybody, but I'm not here to socialize. That's how I see it. I don't know.
Got you. Do you have any other entrepreneurial endeavors going on, or is it strictly the glam room and doing hair?
I'm getting into investments, like property.
Okay.
So that's new. I don't know. I'm still like researching, trying to see how I feel about it, but looking into like Airbnb, I don't know how I feel about it yet.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that popping up. I'm intrigued. I'm always, I just get so distracted. I'm intrigued by so many different business ventures, Airbnb being one of them. So I totally get it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like there's so many different things that we could do out here. So just why not do them?
So I'm in this coaching program right now, and we're talking about like branding and, you know, your story and how that relates to your brand and everything like that. Who would you say like the glam room is like your, who is the glam room for? Who is like your ideal person that it's for?
I feel like it's for anybody, you know? I feel like it's for anybody who is looking to, like I said, I know a lot of people feel like they might have lost their confidence due to whether it's postpartum, whether it's you've been stressed out from, and I've had people tell me they've been stressed from like relationships, marriage, divorce, just whatever. Like that could go both ways, men, women, anyone can use this stuff. So I would just say just anyone looking to like bring their confidence back, you know, and to like bring just that feeling of feeling like you're that person, because you are, like internally we are, so.
Yeah. So Jasmine, what are you working on your legacy to be? Like when it's all said and done, what do you want people to say about you?
I don't know. I just wanted to say like, she was a hard worker and like, I really care about what I do. I put my heart and soul into everything I do. So yeah, that's really it.
Yeah. Anything else coming up next? Any restocks?
Yeah, I have one October 1st and then my birthday is November 2nd. So I'm gonna do something for that. I'm really passionate about this. This is another thing I actually want to get into, is like products for anyone going through like chemotherapy. So that's like my next thing. I'm very passionate about that. So something around like breast cancer awareness, somewhere around there.
Yeah. October 1st, y'all got to look out for it. So like between now and October 1st, like, are you just like getting the products like in production and just having them ready?
Yeah, so it's like prep work. So making sure we have enough boxes, make sure everything's labeled, prepped, everything, making products. So some things I won't make until the last minute because I like everything to just be like super fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just it's the prep work. And that could take a whole month just to do it, just for one restock.
Yeah. Is it hard, or was it hard to outsource or source your ingredients? Like the ingredients that you wanted, it wasn't hard?
That's
good.
No, that part's not hard.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people that deal with natural products, sometimes they have a difficult time finding products that are like 100% like what they want.
I would say the only, like, it's not hard finding like top of the line stuff, but I would just say for me is when you get it in bulk and it's like in big pallets, because what I was doing at first, I'm like, I didn't want to, because I have a warehouse, so I'm like, I don't want them to be dropping these big like drums off in front of my warehouse. I don't like people in my business like that. And you know, people are nosy. So I'm like, they would be bringing it to my house and you can't even move it. It's like a 50 gallon something or like 100 gallons. So it's like, that would be the hardest thing, I guess, just like moving the stuff out. But other than that, no.
Okay. But this has been great. I learned so much. About you. Before you go, I have to ask you the Friends and Beauty rapid fire questions.
Okay.
So whatever comes to your mind first, just like spit it out.
Okay.
So the first one, what are the top three keys to your success so far?
Top three. I would say keeping God first, that's first. Staying consistent. And I would just say not taking no, you know, from anyone. Like, just keep going. So they're going to tell you no, but that's fine. Someone's going to tell you yes. So just keep moving until you get your yes. And don't worry about your likes and all that. Just post. Just keep moving.
Absolutely. How do you measure your success?
I don't know. I measure by like how I touch people, and yeah, I would measure it like that.
Yeah, just how you,
the amount of people that I'm touching. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. What's the best advice you ever received, or is this like a piece of advice that's always stuck with you?
So it's this girl named Melita. She works in like the music industry. I'll never forget. Like I always had things that I wanted to like work on or just do. And I would just like post them, you know, not thinking anything of it. And she always told me, and it always sticks with me. Like she told me that never tell them what you're going to do until it's already done and it's already in the works. So like I live by that. So if I say something, it's already done. It's a go. So yeah, I live by that.
I love that. What advice would you give to another, I guess, brand owner, a hair care brand owner who is just not seeing the results that they want in their business and they're just ready to just like throw in the towel?
Stay consistent. That's first. And I would say like, don't look left and right because, you know, I mean, you can look, but just don't look left and right and then start looking down on what you're doing. And like I said, don't stop because that you could have popped off that next month. You could have popped off that next year. So why stop? Like you went this far, just keep going. Like you never know. Like a lot of people, even like in the music industry, it took them years to get to that point. Beyonce didn't get to just be Beyonce that quick. It took time. Like it took time. So I don't know. I think people just need to practice a little more patience and just, yeah, nothing good is going to happen overnight.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. What's a resource that helps you in your business that you can share with the Friends of Beauty community?
A resource. I don't know a resource. For me, it's prayer. That's really all I can say. I just pray and journal, like, and I write stuff down. Yeah, I write it down.
When you journal, how do you do your journaling? Like how, I know some people journal as though like things have already happened, or do you journal like for the present? Like how do you journal?
I just say what I want. And that's another thing too. I've heard people say like they don't, I know in terms of, I guess, praying, people will say like, oh, I don't want to ask for this, or I don't want to like disturb God, or I don't want to do like, no, ask for like, and not just asking, like write it down. And then, cause a lot of us will say, when you write it down, they'll say, I just want to be successful. It's like, okay, well, success could be you have a roof over your head, or success could be that, you know, it's different meanings and views to what success is. Like you have to be very specific. Like I want to be successful and I want to make 20K this month. Like you got to say exactly what you want. So just being intentional and knowing exactly what you want is key.
Right. Okay. I love that. So the last one, I just want you to fill in the blank and just say, my name is blank. And the key to longevity and success is whatever you think it is.
Okay. So my name is Jasmine and my key to success and longevity would be to keep God first and just stay consistent. And yeah,
keep God first and consistency is going on. That's the thing that's going to get people.
Yeah, it's key. A lot of people can't be consistent, but that's what, you know, help you to stand apart from everybody else. So.
Absolutely. I love it. Before you go, share like all of your social media information or website, however you want people to connect with you in the Glam Room.
Okay. It's theglamroom.net. And my Instagram is JAZZYJAZ93. And my business page is theglamroom__. So 2 underscores.
Yay. Thank you so much, Jasmine. I can't wait for your next restock. Y'all better keep an eye on it.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're absolutely welcome. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Friends in Beauty podcast. Don't forget, sharing is caring. Share this episode with at least one friend in beauty and subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts so that other friends in beauty can find this show. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Connect with us on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty, #FriendsInBeauty to join the conversation, and join our Friends in Beauty Facebook community to stay connected. Talk to you soon.